This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
610 Sports Radio is the new official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. KCSP Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Kansas City, a radio.com sports station. Football, energy drinks, beer, more football. Welcome to Bink at Night.
Welcome back, final hour. Jay Binkley, Rocco producing. From the 816 on the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line, 69306. Bink, what's your take on Levine's barbecue list from earlier? Wasn't a fan of it, evidently. I did not hear it. I did not hear the barbecue list. I was doing something else and listening to some combine stuff. I heard most of the show, but I missed Levine's barbecue list.
I'm very curious, though. There are wrong answers.
That's the thing. That's the thing about barbecue in this town is I like it at the asking when the Royals' heyday. You know, when they're going to the World Series in 14 and 15?
Right.
One of my favorite things to do at FanFest is ask the kids, who's your favorite player? Because I get some Haas answers. Kids a little older, get some Gordos. I got a lot of Salvador Perez, a lot of Canes, some Moose. I mean, there was just so many likable Royals that you wouldn't get a consensus probably. I mean, there were so many different choices. That's kind of like barbecue to me. Everybody's got their spot that's close to them that they like going to. Once a week or every 2 weeks, or maybe they travel a little bit. But I found that barbecue restaurants are all over the place, and they're all good. And I think the Chiefs have taken the right approach, saying they're all good. Like Andy Reid, they're all good.
I mean, and a lot of them are. There are a few hidden gems around Kansas City, too.
Oh, there are. I mean, good competition barbecuers that go into their own business. I always appreciate what they do.
Yeah, absolutely. The guys who, like, show up to American Royal and try to win the thing, I think that's so cool.
Well, it's just like these craft brewers, you know, that
yeah,
did the micro beers and the micro fest, and we're in the beer clubs, and they turn out and they make great beer, and then they end up open up at a brewery. They go pro, so to speak.
And they bring it to us, and we drink it on Fridays.
But I did not hear that. My personal favorite that I've gone to for a long time, and I know that they're a sponsor of my podcast, through the football and barbecue podcast, and there's a reason that it's Smokehouse. And I've eaten at this place since I was in high school, which is a long time ago. I'm 46. Mm. We used to go there every week, you know, that one in Gladstone, and I go there all the time, to be honest with you. And we've had it for Christmases probably the last 20 years.
Oh, man.
We go on Christmas Eve, get it, then warm it up on Christmas Day. But I've done that for the longest time. But I like a lot of other barbecue places, and you can put an all-star team. Like, they do golf courses where they take the best holes.
Yeah, you know.
They try to simulate them. You could do that with barbecue. We had a caller a little bit ago, Rocco. You had asked me on the screen, and I assume it's when I was talking about Memphis and Graceland.
It was.
And Elvis Presley, that somebody was asking me about Rendezvous Barbecue in Memphis.
Yeah, it was. And you said you were shaking your head in there, and that you had not gone, but Pete was his name. He's probably listening now, hopefully.
It's not Sweeney, is it?
No, you know, you can tell when it's Pete Sweeney. You can tell. And it wasn't his dad either. It was not Big Pete.
Big Pete?
It was not Big Pete. But this Pete's also highly recommended Rendezvous. So when you hop in the paddy wagon, head out to Graceland next time, might be a good spot to check out.
Here's the thing. I would do it for research purposes only.
Naturally.
But I'd have to think twice about going in there, and I'd feel a little dirty, to be honest with you, because Memphis and Kansas City have always, you know, Carolina barbecue, Texas barbecue. Mm-hmm. Memphis barbecue, they consider theirs the best. And I just don't know, being from Kansas City, if I could do that. I would feel extremely dirty going to that place. And I've heard of Rendezvous. It's supposedly good and people like it, but I don't think I could cheat on Kansas City barbecue. I know that's a cop-out answer.
No, it's not.
But I just, you got the best here. I mean, I'll go to different places or whatever, and you'll see a barbecue restaurant on the East Coast or something. I just laugh. I won't eat it. I won't eat it.
No, I will not.
I will not eat it. Don't humor me. I will not go eat it. I'll go eat. If I'm on the East Coast, I'll grab some fish or whatever because it's pretty fresh, I'm sure.
Right.
I'll eat fish. I'll eat burgers because burgers are good anywhere. Right. But I will not eat the barbecue.
You'll go to Chicago and get, you know, you go get a hot dog. You'll get some pizza. The heck I want Chicago barbecue from when we got burn-ins in Kansas City. It's that simple.
Chicago to me, and I haven't spent a lot of time there, to be honest with you. I was there in 14 when the Royals clinched the playoffs against the White Sox.
Good time to be there.
And a couple things about Chicago. One, there's too many damn tolls.
Yeah.
And two, the pizza. I had to eat Chicago pizza, man. Deep dish pizza. I mean, Chicago, they're good with pizza, man.
Giordano's was a whole nother chapter of my life that started when I had my first bite.
New York's good at pizza, too. Yep. I think the pizza around here is good.
It is.
I like going to Old Shiny Pizza. Will Walker, that stuff is amazing.
I got all Big T. Kinds.
Yeah, Big T and Shiny. You know, yeah, it's good stuff. I enjoy that one a lot. But I did not hear Levine's list. Was that inside the mind, the barbecue of Sean Levine? By the way, Adam Schefter was talking about one Tom Brady. Will he go back with the Patriots or not? Or does he end up with the Raiders, who supposedly are willing to offer him 2 years, $60 million? Again, this would be fun from the outside. Tom Brady with John Gruden, Las Vegas. It is not a threat to the Chiefs. It is not a threat to the Kansas City Chiefs. Tom Brady is a huge step above Derek Carr, but that's not the answer.
Here's where we're going to get a gauge of whether the Tennessee Titans could potentially be players for Tom Brady. Because if they put the franchise tag on Ryan Tannehill and they could begin to do that starting Thursday, that would essentially take them out of any talks and discussions for Tom Brady. If they don't use the franchise tag on Ryan Tannehill, then that would leave them in play for Tom Brady, potentially, if that was a route they decided to go. But you can't tag Tannehill and go after Brady. You can't do that. So we could get a glimpse of what the Titans' thinking is starting on Thursday.
Tennessee keeps coming up. Mike Vrabel, former teammate of Tom Brady. I think Tannehill, I mean, we're talking about comeback player of the year, fitting in nicely. Didn't ask him to do a bunch with that Tennessee team. But again, Tennessee knows what they're up against with Pat Mahomes. They know that Ryan Tannehill can't get over the hump with Pat Mahomes. He just can't do it. Now, I know they beat him in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Mahomes' first game back. Mahomes over 400 yards. He was good in that game.
He was.
But I think the defense let him down at points. And I think they would admit it, too, because the defense really turned on that Chargers game. But that game was in hand. But Tannehill, I'll never forget that third down scramble he had for 9 yards. It's like Tannehill won the game at the end. I get that. But they got to play the Chiefs in the playoffs. Then what happened?
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody's scratching the surface looking for that answer. Could Tom be that answer? And I just don't think he is. Here's the thing about Tom. You could take him out of New England, but you better take Belichick with you, which he's not going anywhere.
No.
But that quarterback-coach combination is so important. Now, do I think Pat Mahomes would be good in other places? I do. And you're saying, well, why do you think that he could succeed without Andy Reid? And, yeah, I think Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes make the perfect combination.
Absolutely.
But I think the skill level of Pat Mahomes would placate some extent a head coach. Like Deshaun Watson.
Right.
Like Deshaun Watson's a very good quarterback. Bill O'Brien is not the answer.
No.
Brain farts in that Chiefs game. And I never liked the quarterback-coach combination with Bill O'Brien and Deshaun Watson.
Mm-mm.
Deshaun Watson would be brilliant with Andy Reid. I think he would.
Yeah.
Not only that, I think Deshaun Watson would be good with John Gruden.
There's a handful of coaches he can fit with, probably more than he can't, in all fairness. And they are going to have new guys calling the plays in Houston, I saw. But Tom Brady 6 years ago, maybe, he could have maybe left and went somewhere else. Just this Tom Brady now, I just don't know.
And he did not have a lot of talent. Why Gronk was gone this year, whatever. He made the best of it with Edelman.
And he did. He did.
He made the best of what he could do with that defense that they had. It was more of a defensive team than offense. In between, it was about Tom Brady and throwing the football. Early on, it was about that defense.
Right.
Then it became more Tom. And then, as you know, you go back to the means here about the defense. Belichick just finds a way to win, man.
He's a winner. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I mean, even when Brady had to sit out for the deflated balls, he sat out 4 games. They went 3-1.
They did.
With, like, Garoppolo and Jacoby Brissett, and they were able to manufacture wins and get to 3-1. Hell, that 1 year that Bernard Pollard hit Tom Brady, they ended up going 11-5 with Matt Cassel.
And that's what got Matt Cassel to Kansas City, ultimately.
That was good for Matt Cassel.
Well, yeah, not great for Kansas City.
Who did not start at USC except for Running back. That's the one position. They really? They were doing like the screw it up offense. He was a quarterback, but they started him at tailback in one game. That was a start in USC.
I know they had quarterbacks in front of him out there. That was deep quarterback classes for a while at USC, but that's crazy. Matt Castle, the running back.
I just think it's interesting where Brady could end up. If the Titans tag Tannehill, he's not going anywhere. They're not going to do that, then sign Brady.
Right.
But again, King Henry, you got to sign. And Brady's not coming at a discount at his point in his career. He's not.
No.
He's coming to try to win elsewhere so he can prove the ultimate barstool debate. Is it Belichick or is it Brady? It, to me, being a fan of the league, it is something I want to see. I've had that argument. Is it Brady or Belichick? I've had that argument on here with the text line, the callers, and producers. I've had that argument. Is it Brady or Belichick? It's a great barroom debate.
Yeah.
I've always said it's a combination of both. It takes both to be it. And I think they need each other. But I would like to see who's the better team.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, I'd like to see him play.
I want to see him play. I want to see him in the division if at all possible. It won't happen, but I want to see him in the division. That would be ideal.
Can we legitimately have the argument? Would it end the argument? I don't think so at Tom Brady's age.
No. I don't think so either.
Who's better in your mind? Is it Belichick or Brady?
I personally think Belichick. I think that, I might get some slander from this on the text line, but I think that Alex Smith would have won a Super Bowl if he had Tom Brady's career. Maybe he wouldn't have had six Super Bowls, but he would have been a Super Bowl champion.
Well, we all know what a clown show the Cleveland Browns are.
Right.
Belichick actually won a playoff game in Cleveland.
Which is a crazy concept.
Yeah.
He had a few bad years also, but he did win a playoff game.
He built the team up.
To what they are, what they ended up the last 10 years.
I'm just saying, I just think the combination, but I think it would end all arguments.
It would.
And I like when arguments are settled in sports.
I don't know if you're ever going to get this one all the way settled, though. There's always going to be some opposition.
Have you ever had this argument?
Oh, of course. That's why I had Alex Smith winning a Super Bowl, potentially, if he was Tom Brady in this situation.
It might be a cop-out to say it takes both, but I think this is a Reese's peanut butter cup thing. Peanut butter and chocolate. I think they need each other to be great, man.
I was like, where are you going with this?
No, I think that it's a lot of food references. I get that. But I think to be great, you got to have both.
You got
to
eat.
Now, if you just had peanut butter, it'd be good. Just chocolate, it'd be good. But you put the two together.
Or if you're Elvis and you put peanut butter and bananas with bacon and fry. Oh, fry. You can't forget to fry it.
They fry everything
who
in the South.
Who comes up with this?
Even Twinkies.
Did he have a chef he paid a lot of money to for him?
Hey, in the South, I've had fried green tomatoes.
Ew.
I know they have a lot of fried pickles up here. They're great in the South. They fry everything. They fried Twinkies, fried Snickers, you name it, they fry it.
Fried Twinkies are a super overlooked snack, I tell you what. And I'm with
you know, Kramer's never even had a Twinkie.
That explains why he's kind of chiseled. That explains it. What if we were that?
I have never heard that description with Kramer.
Come on. You see it. Kramer's a physical specimen as well. He is. I'm trying to get him to play my baseball team. He's not trying to do it this year. But he's going to come out at least once.
I wouldn't compliment him so much if he won't play for you.
Well, you know, he'll play for us next year if I compliment him now.
Are you the manager?
Yeah, head coach, manager.
Baseball, is that your sport?
That's my sport. I played that in college.
Where'd you go to high school and college?
Raytown South, and then I went to Missouri Valley. I never got playing time out in Missouri Valley, just kind of fizzled off with it a little bit. But Sunday Warrior now, starting on March 22nd.
And it's fast. It's not softball, it's baseball.
Oh, it's baseball. We, 9 innings. Now we're playing 7 inning doubleheaders. Woodbat.
I like the Woodbat at St. Joe Mustangs.
I like
that Mink League, the Missouri, Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas. That's been fun. Like, I've been up there to watch games.
A couple of our teams in the league will play against some of those teams and whatnot, you know, just exhibition and whatnot, but it's good.
What's your age limits?
We don't have an age limit, but we have 18 and older. You have to be 18 years old. We had the Cy Young last year, my guy Kevin. You have
a Cy Young award in your league.
Yeah. MVP, Cy Young, you know. And Kevin was chucking like 92. Like, no, you're not.
Really?
You're not
hitting. How old is Kevin?
He's a year older than me. He's he's just a stud from Venezuela. After college, he stayed up here. He was a college teammate of mine.
Does Kevin have like a regular job?
Yeah, he has a very regular job.
He can hit 92.
Yeah, he works at a prison, a very notable prison. And he, on Sundays, comes out and hits 92.
So with training, Kevin could probably hit mid-90s.
I'm just saying we have two players, maybe three, who if they went to different, they had different paths, they could have seriously played in the minor leagues or further.
Jim Rome used to talk about the softball leagues.
Yeah.
Like the guys that always hated the coaches, you know, they carry their DeMarini bats and they always, you know, the coach held them back.
Right.
They'd be pro if it wasn't for the coach holding them back.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a handful of our guys in our league who feel that way.
I went to an old man baseball league just to watch it here.
Right.
One time, and it was like, heat was like 68. 92, that's
heat. That's
I couldn't even catch up with that. I couldn't even attempt to catch up with that.
Well, and I'm a catcher. I'm one of our catchers. I don't usually catch for that guy for obvious reasons. It's tough.
Yeah, if he's not accurate, is he beating anybody?
He's hit a couple of guys,
yeah.
And you have to apologize to him. It doesn't make you soft, but like this is Sunday baseball. You hit somebody with 92, you should take him to Wendy's after the game or something. I think.
Has Kevin hurt anybody?
No, but he's scared. He scared the bleep out of a few people.
I'm sure he has, because you know you have a regular job and you go out there and you're throwing 92. You don't know where he's going to hit.
Yeah, like I crouch down there for the first pitch and it almost always hits him.
You guys
it comes close.
Have a pine tar rule, do you? Like Major League Baseball, they won't put pine tar in the ball, but some of the hitters like pitchers doing it. And I remember Michael Pineda, the pine tar,
right?
Because you get better grip and they can control the ball more. So of course, hitters like, I really don't care.
Kevin also does this thing where he spots up like a G. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, he's awesome. That's We're going to win a championship this year, in case anybody was wondering.
That's awesome. Coming up, you guys have Astros in your league, by the way?
You know what? They actually changed their They changed their name to the Warriors.
Okay, I was going to ask you that, because around the country, this is the sentiment. Like, kids are changing their team name. They're not the Astros anymore.
They're still the Astros as far as we're concerned. We're bringing trash cans.
But you the minor league baseball will have trash can night. They will have trash can
you
night.
You have to. So
you guys actually had a team like change their, because those jerseys aren't cheap.
No, I'm assuming they're going to change. You can't not be the Astros and show up in Astros jerseys. That's weird.
So they changed their name.
They're really the Warriors this year. We just had a meeting on Sunday and found it out.
That's awesome.
It's great.
That's awesome. Changing it. Kids across the country changed their team name.
And adults across the Kansas City are changing their team names.
I love it. I love it. Coming up next, my weekly, or not weekly, but daily draft talk with Matt Lane. Joined me earlier at 6:15, arrowheadpride.com's Matt Lane. Talk about the Chiefs, what direction they should go in the draft. Hear that next.
Big at night.
And welcome back, Jay Binkley, Rocco Producing. As we do each and every night, we talk NFL draft. Yes, I know the combine going on in Indianapolis right now. Starts tomorrow on TV. You can catch it every night from 3 to 10 o'clock. But I'll do this draft talk. It doesn't have to be combine time.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
And it continues. Tonight I talked to Matt Lane, arrowheadpride.com. Tonight we talked a little bit about the guys that come in for visits and the 20% that actually sign with the teams that come in for visits. A lot of smoke screens this time of year. We bring on Matt Lane at Chief in Carolina, one of the best draft follows in the business, helps out with that draft guide from Kent Swanson as well that we've been talking so much about. What's up, Matt?
Oh, how you doing, JB? Thanks for the kind words and the introduction there.
Oh, I'm serious, man. I mean, even through we've talked about it a bunch, but following you through the bowl season, who to look for, who to watch, and the best fits at linebackers for the Chiefs. Kent Swanson put that bad boy out today, but you've been doing some great work on this as well as far as what the Chiefs should do. I've seen all these mocks, man, and it's funny how they've gone from Kenneth Murray and Patrick Queen. They've been sliding down. They were back where the Chiefs are. They've been sliding up to line 18 or 20, and then everybody started throwing darts at the running back position. But it's funny, if you go to Walter Football, I love this, was talking about the site a minute ago. They have who the Chiefs have talked to in every team in the NFL, whether you talk to them at the Combine, East-West Shrine Game, the Senior Bowl, whatever, they will put it down there in who they've talked to. And one of the positions they've talked to, and we'll talk to the Combine as one of their 45 visits, is the running back position. Any way the Chiefs go with one of the top dogs at running back at 32?
I don't think so at 32. I mean, even looking at who they've talked to, I don't think it seems like the guys that you're expecting to go in the first round out, like you're kind of talking about here. These visits, you can't read too much into them. I'd say in years past, there's almost zero correlation to official interviews at the Combine or even official visits after the Combine to teams drafting those players. This year, with a few less of, you know, formal interviews at the Combine, maybe they'll start to be a little bit choosier about who they talk to, make it a little bit easier. But yeah, they've talked to a lot of running backs. I think you've heard a lot of running backs go into detail about how they've had good long meetings with the Chiefs, from Anthony McFarland to Zach Moss Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, these are guys that have talked openly about having good, productive meetings with the Chiefs. But I just don't know if any of those guys, for me, Clyde Edwards-Helaire would be a round one type running back if I were to ever do that. I just can't get on board with that. And I don't think the NFL sees any of those guys as a top 32 kind of pick.
What are some of the mid rounds then? If they don't go there at pick number 32, which people have DeAndre Swift now with the Chiefs, I'm like, wait a minute, he's probably going to be a lot of. I don't know what you think about DeAndre Swift. I think he's going to be gone before that. And who knows? Maybe there's a run on running backs where Dobbins and Taylor are taken before the Chiefs. I don't know. Could happen, or the Chiefs could be sitting with some of those guys in the first round.
Yeah, and like you have, like, I think most people have the J.K. Dobbins, DeAndre Swift, Jonathan Taylor as kind of your top three. I think it started to break a little bit now, and maybe the combine testing will really shake out some of this, but I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is climbing into that kind of same grouping. I think Cam Akers, especially, I think he weighed in at 218 pounds, which makes him one of the bigger running backs out of those top-tiered guys. So I think he's starting to gain some ground. So you kind of have a big five now, which is why I think it's going to be hard for a team to pull the trigger in the first round. Running backs are very easily moved kind of from scheme to scheme. So unless you're talking about splitting hairs of an outside zone team versus a power team, and I don't think you have anybody so specific that they can't play under anywhere. All these guys we're talking about have receiving ability. So just, it's going to be hard to separate one of those guys is definitely better than the others and to be the first team to take one. But once you start getting to the mid-rounds, like I said, Zach Moss, Anthony McFarland's an interesting one. He's going to be fast. He's going to have a chance to get into the 4-3s, which is moving for a running back. And I do know the Chiefs talked with him. I think he said he had a meeting with the Chiefs running back coaches coming up. You got all sorts of guys all the way through the draft, but he's one to keep an eye on just because he does fit that speed mold the Chiefs have been after.
You know, I'm not going to put you on the spot now, but I'll just ask for your prediction. Nobody knows which direction they'll go. Do you think the Chiefs will select a running back, and if you do, which round?
That's a tough one. I do think they're having a lot of interviews with running backs, and it's either a really good smokescreen. I just don't know what you get out of making everybody else in the NFL think you're interested in a running back if it's not going to be in the first round, which I don't know if they're pointing towards that yet. I do think they might take one. I lean towards day three, though. I think they're just doing their due diligence on a bunch of running backs they like. If one of them falls into the fourth round, I wouldn't even be surprised to see the Chiefs maybe move back up to into a round three, move up a little bit in round three from where they're sitting at, or the early round four if they have one of those guys they like falling. But I don't think they'll do it in one of the top 75 picks this year.
Are you expecting the Chiefs to keep all five picks, or are you expecting them to trade around, maybe trade back to that 32? Because that could be a hot commodity considering – and I know Vichet had a first-rounder. Like, I'd love to see what that is. But, again, this team had no starters on defense. There were first-rounders in the Super Bowl. But sitting there at 32, you get a chance to have the pick of the litter, and I think there's going to be a lot of talent in the second round, so it gets you at the top of that, basically. I know it's still first round, but technically you're ahead of all those other players.
I think there's a very, very slim chance the Chiefs have only five picks. I can't say for sure if they're trading out of 32. If they make a trade leading up to the draft, it gets them more picks before the whole thing even starts. But I would be pretty surprised if the Chiefs just settled on only five picks, and I would expect that number to go up. So whether it's trading back from 32, trading back from 63, I do think there will be more picks acquired at some point in time. I think they might have some tradable pieces on the roster that might, you know, they might be able to net some extra picks for and save money in the process. Or, like you said, maybe you get to 32, you've lost both linebackers, you have a group of cornerbacks that are all good enough around the same level for you, trade back 7, 8, 10 spots and pick one of them guys a little bit later and pick up a few more picks.
Where are you sitting right now with 32?
I would love it to be a linebacker, but like you said at the beginning, I do think you're looking at kind of Kenneth Murray, Patrick Queen probably coming off the board, and I really think after the combine, once he gets through interviews and testing, Zach Bond might even be coming off the board before the Chiefs pick. And if that's the case, then I think I'm leaning towards cornerback at this point in time. I love this class. There's a lot of talented guys. It would just be really hard to wait until 63 and not get one of those guys that I kind of have in the top one or two tiers.
Yeah, you wrote a piece at arrowheadpride.com that I read this morning, and I enjoyed it. Check it out. It's by Matt Lane, at Chief in Carolina, on Twitter. One of the running backs that you had was Antonio Gibson. And the one thing about Antonio Gibson is that I find interesting – he fits that mold on what Reed wants. We're talking 38 catches, 735 yards, played wide receiver at Memphis, But he ran for 33 carries for 369 yards. He can do both. Are you saying the switch completely to running back?
I think so. He did play mostly wide receiver to start the year, and I don't think he really got any bulk of carries, like any.
He only had like 33.
Yeah, until the Cincinnati game, I believe later in the year, he had double-digit carries. He was featured as a running back, and it was obviously his best game. And that's mostly what he did at the Senior Bowl. So I just like the prospect of him as a running back that also has a receiving ability. Like, as a pure receiver, I don't love his route running or kind of the way he attacks the ball, but for a running back, it's excellent. And I think he has that size that you've seen Brett Veach go after. You know, 6 foot, 220-plus pounds, that can catch the ball. Like, Brett Veach has been very adamant that that's the type of running back he likes. So, yeah, he's just an interesting name to keep an eye on because he might test pretty well here. I do think the NFL has already requested him to do running back drills. And like I said, down in Mobile at the Senior Bowl, he pretty much only played running back. So I don't imagine he'll turn that down. And I think that's where most teams will see him, as more of as a running back than a receiver.
Well, there's been 45 guys or 46 guys that have been asked to do two positions at the combine, wide receivers to running back, even tight end to running back, to as far as two position workouts. And there was talk that Jalen Hurts was asked to do that as well. That is not true. Antonio Gibson is one of those guys, like Malcolm Perry and Joe Reed, of the wide receiver group asked to want at running back. So it's an interesting, that's kind of out of the box thinking for you, but this guy does catch the ball extremely well. Now, as far as quarterbacks, and I found this interesting and I want to talk about this tonight. Should the Chiefs be like the Patriots and always looking for that backup quarterback that you sit there and develop, maybe he plays a cup of coffee, something like that, and you're able to trade him away for picks because quarterbacks are commodities, and we've seen this. And you have Anthony Gordon at Washington State who had a brilliant year, and we could say system quarterback because of the offense that Mike Leach runs, but he was kind of a different style of quarterback. This guy was absolutely outstanding. And I feel a guy you can probably get in the fifth round or sixth. Well, they don't have a sixth or seventh, but if they did get some extra picks and gotten to the sixth or the seventh, he's a guy in Anthony Gordon I think is going to be picked in those mid to late rounds.
Yeah, I think I've written a couple articles now talking about best fits at different positions, and Anthony Gordon's often been the pick for quarterback for the Chiefs just because, yeah, some might call it a system quarterback, but he's coming from a system that's going to be relatively similar to some of the stuff the Chiefs are doing. There's a lot of air raid components in both Mike Leach's Washington State offense and the current Andy Reid Kansas City Chiefs offense. So he's got a quick release. He's pretty accurate. He's got a little bit more mobility than I think he gets credit for, so I think he would fit really well. The issue is, to do what the Patriots do, if always drafting a quarterback, looking for that next guy, you have to be stockpiling picks. And I think the Chiefs are simply just, Brett Veach is too aggressive at going to trade for players from other teams that he wants, trade up and down in the draft. I don't know if they'll just ever collect the picks to really be able to use one on a guy that's going to be a designated backup. Now, like you said, if they collect a couple extra here from trading a player or trading back, have a sixth or seventh round pick, I would definitely be looking at somebody like Gordon to come in, be the long-term backup, and if you get him to showcase a little bit in preseason, then you have good trade value, kind of like Jimmy Garoppolo did for the Patriots.
Yeah, just reminding people, you know, Gardner Minshew held this position at Washington State the year before Anthony Gordon. Anthony Gordon's got the size. Not only that, if Joe Burrow didn't have that outstanding year, he would have led the nation in passing yards and touchdowns if not for Joe Burrow.
Yeah, he had a phenomenal year there, and I think people kind of forget that a lot of these Washington State guys are grad transfers, so it's not like they've been there for multiple years learning the system. They come in, they have to figure it out right away. Now, Mike Leach does help make it pretty easy as long as you have a relatively good IQ. Like, you have to be smart to run it and pick it up that quickly, but it's also a lot of simple, easy, quick reads. But again, that's going to be a lot of the stuff. That's the same stuff that Matt Moore was doing for the Chiefs when he came in relief of Patrick Mahomes. You can make an offense. You can make this Chiefs offense around that. So he's a great fit. You just got to be willing to invest that draft capital. And right now, we're so limited on draft capital, it would be a hard move to make.
I could see an argument for several positions for the Chiefs if Brett Veach went that direction. I mean, clearly, you know, what are they going to do with Chris Jones? We don't know that yet. As D-line, how important is that? You lose Fuller and Breland, the cornerback position. To me, the most needy positions would be wide receiver, in cornerback, in linebacker. I still have linebacker at number one because I'm hoping the Chiefs could find a way to get Zach Bond. This is a guy that was at the Senior Bowl, took a lot of hits, a guy that could play weak side linebacker, off-ball linebacker. or inside for the Chiefs, who has amazing pass rushing ability. To me, at 32, if he's there, that's where I'd go. I'm staying with inside linebacker or weak side linebacker with that 32nd pick.
Oh, absolutely. Zach Bond's been a guy I've been very high on since the Senior Bowl. I watched his tape before. I was like, okay, he had some pretty good movement skills to drop in coverage, but I was unsure where the NFL would settle on that outside linebacker, edge rusher versus inside linebacker. He got a ton of reps at off-ball linebacker at the Senior Bowl. By day two, he was telling guys that played off-ball linebacker their entire careers in college what to do, calling out coverages. He looked like probably the best athlete just in terms of dropping into coverage from a linebacker position at the Senior Bowl, at least out of the guys that were not undersized. I think he's a perfect fit. He seems really well-educated, like a high-IQ football player, which I think is really big for Steve Spagnuolo's defense. I think you're seeing with some of the more athletic linebackers on the Chiefs roster, they might have a harder time picking up the defense, not being able to execute at the same level that Spags once plays done, and that's why they're not getting on the field as much. So I think Bond's IQ, his athleticism, his ability in coverage make him a perfect fit at 32. It's just I think he's going to test really well, and it's going to be kind of dicey to see him last all the way until the end of the first round.
There you go, Matt Lane, arrowheadpride.com for the full interview on demand. 610sports.com would be from the first hour today. Zach Bond, by the way, 4 years playing in Wisconsin, 15 through 19 at a linebacker. Had 30.5 tackles for loss, 19.5 this year. Off-ball linebacker with, now keep in mind, first year playing, didn't play only 7 games, 0 sacks. The following year, 2.5 sacks. This past year, 12.5 sacks. You talk about understanding that craft, the perfect fit for timely blitzes under a scheme run stuffer, timely blitzes under Steve Spagnuolo's system. Very curious to see him work with Matt House in the development if the Chiefs could find a way to get Zach Bond. Text line has an interesting question about mind games. Let's talk about mind games in the combine next.
Bink at night.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley. Rocco producing the situation. The Athletic put something out. Could the Big 12 and Pac-12 expand? We map out some potential changes. Ha ha ha.
LOL.
I love this stuff. Don't say it couldn't happen because this stuff happens.
You think so?
We're going to get to the Power Conference expansion of them here soon.
I think so.
Got it. Big 12 didn't have a TV network, man.
You ain't lying.
Longhorns got theirs.
What a Big 14.
You think Alabama has their own network? No, it's called the SEC network.
I'm surprised Alabama doesn't have theirs.
Think North Carolina has? No, it's called the ACC network. So think the USC has one? No, it's called the Pac-12 network.
I feel you.
Think Wisconsin has? No, it's called the Big 10 network. From the text line, 69306, Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line. Talking about this time of year, fake interest, mind games, 100%.
Yep.
It's how well you play the game of chess. Now, I will say this. I was looking up some numbers on this because I was curious about pre-draft visits. And I know I'm weird, which is fine. I'll wear it. But who's visiting who? I always like it when they have who's visiting the Chiefs, who they visited at this point. And I found a website, walterfootball.com. They'll name anything. Not only the visits the Chiefs had at the Combine, which they can visit, 45 players for 18 minutes. Now, last year and the years before, it used to be 60 players for 15 minutes, but it's now 45 players for 18 minutes. You get 30 visits of players, but you can't work them out. You can only do that if the players live locally and don't have to travel to save money. So okay. They map out Combine, East-West Shrine Game, Senior Bowl, wherever they've talked to them. And a couple names, like at the Combine so far. Ben Bredesen, the guard from Michigan, they've talked to. Lawrence Cager, wide receiver from Georgia.
Okay.
They've talked to probably McCole Hardman's recommendation. They've talked to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the running back from LSU that I absolutely love at the Combine. Also, Donovan Peoples-Jones, the wide receiver from Michigan, they've talked to him at the Combine. And Zach Moss, the running back at Utah, they talked to him at the Combine. And supposedly they're going to talk to DeAndre Swift, the running back from Georgia at the Combine. And maybe some J.K. Dobbins as well. So I was interested in what the percentages are, especially when you bring players, the spawn into the players to come visit. Like Mahomes, he came in here for a visit. Now, the Andy Reid did not go to his pro day, but Mahomes came here for a visit. It's where Peter King has that great stuff where Brett Veach walked by with a thumbs up when Pat Mahomes was in the building. 20.8% is where they put it for players that go visit the teams that they end up drafting.
Interesting.
But it's a smokescreen, too, because one of the biggest questions early on with the draft picks, because they all come on I've been down at Arrowhead when they do the draft, and all the picks come on.
Right.
Within 5 or 6 minutes, the draft picks come on in conference call with the local people that cover the Chiefs.
Right.
And one of the first questions is always, how much contact did you have with the Chiefs? They love this stuff. They love this. You know, how much contact did you have, and who from the Chiefs did you talk to? Did you speak to a lot of them? Because Mahomes was different, because that was a precarious situation. Because the Chiefs knew they had to get in front of the Saints and the Cardinals. They had to maneuver that because they were worried that they would take him. Their chances of getting Mahomes would drop in that situation. But they didn't do it. And at 20.8%, and this is from 15 and 16, but I was kind of curious. Like, but it is mind games. You want to let people know? This is why I thought Mike Mayock would have success, because he knows the GM so well, and he always has known the GMs well from being in the media, because I think Mike Mayock was the best in business. He's put his mock, he'd do position rankings,
right?
But he would always wait until like the night before the draft to put out his mock. And I'm telling you, I just think this is teams watch who's looking at. I know Dorsey used to look at that. One of the first things he looked at, who's there? Is the GM there, the position coach? Who is there watching said player?
Especially when you're looking at teams in your division and thinking of how that player can impact your team by not playing for you. Not that it's always that they're going to, you know, you're going to draft that player to keep him from another team, but you at least can have a heads up on how you're going to have to work around that or other moves that could come.
Certain players are brought in for that purpose only.
Sure.
Well, he visited the Chiefs. That's a position they need. I think the Chiefs are going to be looking for said player. Some of the stuff is smoke screen.
I don't think the teams usually would admit that they only drafted a player for that reason, but I'm curious what the percentage of teams are that would actually do that in the fourth round, for instance.
It's why it's so hard. These people do mock drafts, you know, the Kuipers, the McShays of the world, Mayock when he was doing it, now Daniel Jeremiah, Bucky Brooks puts it, but everybody, Matt Miller, love Matt Miller stuff. It's why it's so hard and in an exact science, because you think, all right, this team's showing so much interest, but then another team grabs them. And that's always one of the toughest things is figuring out who's going to what team. So it makes the Chiefs draft. And I do mock drafts every year, just Chiefs picks.
Right.
And it's so tough to be right. I try to get the rounds where they go right. And I take pride in that if they're picked in that round by another team. But it's so difficult to think what teams are actually looking at those players because there's, you know, 32 different teams to go visit. So that's the big question there. Coming up next, hear what Brady Singer had today, making his second appearance in the Cactus League.
Bink at Night.
Welcome back to Bink at Night. Jay Binkley, Rocco producing. Now, this draft's going to be very important for the Kansas City Chiefs. Put it this way. If they find out a way to give, well, they are going to find a way. As soon as the CBA is done, Mahomes will be the highest paid player in NFL history. And Chris Jones has earned that bag. He'll be the highest paid defensive player ever, in my opinion. If you sign those two guys, you need this draft to work out. You know, it's not like the Chiefs are playing on house money here. They are a little bit because they won the championship. But again, 5 years from now, this team, who's going to be still effective for the Kansas City Chiefs? Mahomes and Harrison Butker. Seriously, I can't see Butker going anywhere. But kickers, no. They can fall off the map at certain points. Coke will be gone. You know, Kelsey will be mid-30s, probably won't be here. Tyreek Hill will be, you know, hitting that 30-year-old threshold.
A lot of new faces.
It's going to be a lot of new faces. It's like the Patriots, like anybody else. That's why this draft is so important. This is why these next couple nights on primetime watching the draft, it matters. Now, it sucks that we can't make those picks. Because if we could, we'd be in a world of hurt. Let's put it that way.
I mean, I hope that it wouldn't work out that way.
It's like I would like to see what Kuiper and McShay and these guys could do, or Daniel Jeremiah. Lewis Riddick probably do a great job. Ugh. Bucky Brooks really doing a good job with this stuff. But we got to see it with Mayock. Like, we got to see when you take a draft pick and you put him in the front office. He had a hell of a draft. They've got to figure out the quarterback position in Las Vegas. But that draft class is ridiculous. And Jonathan Abram didn't even play. Hardest hitter in the SEC when they drafted him in 19. He's a thumper. Most sacks, most rushing yards, or yards from scrimmage, that draft class was ridiculous in Las Vegas. But they don't have the quarterback because the one they do can't win here, and that's a problem. That's a real problem for them.
I'm really curious of who you think is going to be their quarterback, just to be honest with you.
I mean,
I know you can't really, there's
anything,
not an answer yet.
If
but.
You go back to Derek Carr, it's one of those things. How much confidence does he have? I mean, if you're in a relationship and your girlfriend or wife is constantly looking around and every time you go to the bar, she's checking other dudes out. It's what the Raiders are doing with quarterbacks.
That's a good way to put it.
You know, floating that information that Brady, you know, 2 years, maybe $60 million. If you're Derek Carr, you're like, what the hell, man? Am I being David Carr?
Oh, you don't want to be David Carr.
Am I going to be on NFL Network with my brother?
That would be a heck of a show.
No, it would be terrible.
That would be a heck of a show.
No, it would be terrible.
They could take John Gruden with them. He could be their co-host.
There might be some Raiders hate, because right now there's a bunch of Raiders love with David Carr.
Ugh.
Of course, he'd be, you know, huge on wherever he went.
Yeah, for sure. He would. But hopefully it won't be to Oakland. Actually, I hope they have his quarterback next year.
I think they do, because it ends the Barstool debate. Is it Brady or Belichick? It's a beautiful thing. Rivers, I think, ends up in Indy with that offensive line, which is absolutely totally ridiculous.
It is.
What Chris Ballard has done with that offensive line. That team was ready for prime time, man. That team was a deep playoff prediction for me before the season. This before Andrew Luck.
Right.
Decided to say, I'm done. That was a huge, that was the biggest blow to any NFL team within a decade when Andrew Luck says, I'm not playing. It just was. That team won a playoff road game. That team was ready to take the next step. They flipped that offensive line for the most sacks in the NFL to the fewest within a year between 17 and 18 by the drafting of Quentin Nelson and the kid from Olathe South.
Yeah, what's his name? Good ball player. I'm just blanking.
Well, here's the thing. You can flip the offensive line quick. You can flip it really quick. That year in that draft, I mean, they decided to fix that offensive line by grabbing Braden Smith. Smith.
Yep, just found it too.
Braden Smith, late to South High School, went to Auburn. Didn't go to Mizzou, didn't go to Kansas, didn't go to Kansas State. He went to Auburn, but he's incredible talent. He's a right tackle for him. And then Quentin Nelson, I think, is the finest offensive lineman in the NFL.
He's up there. Can't put him down.
Real quick, let's hear from Brady Senior, because I want to hear from this. Vern's calling the season a lifeboat. I'm tempted to say this is the 2018 draft class season because they're going to be filtering their way to the major leagues, probably a year too early, because that draft class in 18 was ridiculous, and the draft in Major League Baseball is such a crapshoot, but they drafted Brady Singer, Jackson Coar, Daniel Lynch, Chris Bubich, Jonathan Bolin, Kyle Isbell, their first picks. All those guys will be with the Kansas City. It's hard to say a major league when you look at the draft. And you say the top six will end up with the major league team. I mean, it's a very rare feat, but these guys will. Two of these guys are in the MLB top 100 in Brady Singer and Daniel Lynch. But here's what Brady Singer said today after his second performance in the Cactus League.
All right, just your thoughts on your second time out.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was good. The first inning, I felt really strong. You know, I felt like keeping the fastball really low in the zone, and the sinker was working well. And obviously the slider, I threw two pretty good changeups too, so I was definitely happy about that. And the second inning, you know, I got that leadoff hit, and then, you know, I got in a jam, but I worked my way out of it. You know, I dug deep and threw some quality pitches, and, you know, fastball wasn't really there too much the second inning, but I could rely on the slider pretty heavily, and I felt like I was mixing between both of them pretty well, so it got me out of the jam.
Yeah, seemed like setting him up with the fastball, really putting him away in that second inning with the slider too.
Yeah, absolutely. The slider was working really well in the second inning for sure.
Mm-hmm. How about the names that you were able to face? I mean, those are World Series, those are MVP candidates. Mm-hmm. Able to set them down in order in that first.
Yeah, I mean, when I heard their names, I was just, all right, here we go. But no, it's definitely cool. You know, that's awesome that I can go out there and get to pitch against those guys. You know, they're obviously big names, and they've done a lot, you know, for our sport. So it was definitely awesome to go out there and pitch against them.
And even those hits early on, I mean, Hayward hit it, but, I mean, didn't get really solid contact the next two.
Yeah, you know, I got behind with Hayward, and he's a good hitter. You know, that's what good hitters do. He lined one back up the middle, and, yeah, the second two hits, you know, they just found holes, and that's baseball. You know, it's always going to happen. It's happened my whole life, so... when that happens, you got to dig deep, and, you know, I did that.
Yeah, got out of the jam, got to walk away, and got to feel good.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't want to give a run, so right. I had to do something.
No doubt. Yeah, obviously you don't want to load the bases, but in spring training, is it kind of a good feeling to know you can do that and prove that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this early for sure. You know, I feel like this early you're not always dialed in like you are, you know, midseason. So for me to go out there and do that and get out of that jam and get my team back in the dugout with nothing on the board, that was awesome.
Singer's got a chance. He's MLB top 100, number two prospect for the Royals. I think he ends up here. He has a chance to win the job as the fifth starter. I think he's the first guy called up when the Royals need somebody because rotation, somebody always gets hurt. They always get hurt. Now, Singer hadn't pitched in Omaha. Dayton Moore likes the cycle from Lexington to Wilmington to Northwest Arkansas to Omaha. Now, he doesn't always stay with that, but that's the primary motion of the way things go. That's why I asked Vern. Because I'll never forget when Vern told me that Yordano Ventura had that swagger. Had that swagger going forward. And I was looking, you know, and I took that word, Zach. I liked that. And he did have that swagger. Did have that confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, there's a fine line between confidence and cocky.
Heck yeah. Which one are you?
Confident? I'm not cocky at all. So I don't
know. No, I think you're confident.
But you can't. I mean, you can be both.
Yeah.
But. You got to check yourself once in a while.
Check yourself or you wreck yourself, as you kids say.
You can always wreck yourself. Ask Antonio Brown.
Ugh. Let's not talk about him.
I'm just saying.
You ain't lying.
Dude was the best.
Ugh.
It's like, what the hell, man?
Good times.
Anyway, thanks to Rocco. Thanks to Matt Lane joining the show, talking draft as I talk draft each and every night. Thanks, as always, for listening to the show. Don't forget Vern's Hot Stove tomorrow at 6 o'clock when opening day tickets at 6:10. Enjoy your night. I'll see you guys tomorrow night.
Night. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.